I love worship.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I mean, I've been part of a worship team for a long time. So it was a great blessing for me to actually come, when I first started coming to Believer's Fellowship, to join the worship team here. And it's always something special, and it's a very, worship can cut through. And this has nothing to do with my message at all, but worship can just cut right through whatever storm you're in or whatever.
Yes.
I could be just having a total bad day, right? And then you just get into the worship. And a lot of times we get hung up on feelings and things like that too. But sometimes, the anointing comes on us and our body doesn't know what to do with it. Our emotions don't know how to handle it. And so it may come out, you may start crying, right? You might start shaking or laughing sometimes, right? And it's like, because when that anointing comes on you, and worship has that way of just cutting right through everything, anything. I mean, that's why, and this is way off my message. So let me check my levels here, make sure I'm so the little techie in me here, I got to make sure I'm getting a good sound here. So, the devil, of course, right, we all know, he was the chief musician, right? He was the song leader in heaven. And so he's taken that and, of course, perverted it. And so that's why worldly music can do the same thing on a negative effect to people, where it can cut right through and put you in a bad mood, or cut right through and, whatever's worse than the bad mood, right? But and it can have that same thing because it has that ability to bypass our intellect. And that's, you can get those restaurants so careful. I mean, I tell my kids all this all the time where they, you got to be careful what you're listening to.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. Yeah. No, okay, all right, I get it. I'll listen to the oldies once in a while, right? You're okay if you have a candy bar once in a while. You're not going to die, right? I mean, assume that you're not diabetic or something talking about medical condition, but generally speaking, you're not going to die from one candy bar. But if I had a steady diet of candy bars every day, right? Right, that's not going to be good for me. So, but that's where that music, and that's where even worldly music that can get into you, and it goes right past your mind, it gets right into your soul. So you got to be careful with that. But I love worship, and I thank you, Rachel, again. Before we get going here, thank you for coming. But let's just pray for Rachel for a minute. I mean, have you noticed she was kind of fighting some things, and she mentioned so. We'll just take a minute here. Father God, I thank you for Rachel, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for her willingness heart, Lord. And I thank you that she loves you and she serves you, Lord, with all her heart and with complete abandonment, Lord. And so we just speak over this sickness or this allergy or whatever it is that's trying to attach her. We speak to that allergy. We speak to that sickness. We command it to leave in the name of Jesus. It has no place in her body. It cannot stay. The price has already been paid. You've already paid the price, Lord Jesus. So it doesn't. It has no business staying there. So we command it to leave in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. Amen. All right. So maybe I should really get to my real message, right? Before I do that, though, I've learned something from Dr. Barclay, and it actually makes me laugh every time. I say I learned something like it's only been one thing. But I'm going to set a timer. And there we go. So that I stay on time. So if you ever listen to Dr. Barclay's messages or anytime, you'll hear like the taps song will play, like on his phone. So he sets a timer. And I don't know, and he started doing this probably, I don't know, maybe a year or so before we came and moved down to Texas. And it makes me laugh. It still makes me laugh every time this day. Because the funny thing is, he'll snooze it, right? And it's like, he goes for another 15, 20, 30 minutes after the timer goes off anyways. I'm like, I don't know what the timer is for. But and then he always references it too. He's always like, oh yeah, that's just my timer, right? So, yeah. Anyhow, so what I did just now is I set a timer to make sure that I don't go too long. So, it's funny, I had a title for this message, and
it's okay, just talk
about that. No. There's worse things.
Lawnmower.
I'll try to talk louder. If you can't hear me, just wave. I'll do something. So I actually didn't have a title for my message. I started to have a title, and then until actually in prayer here. So you're going to laugh at this title. So the title of this message here is, "The Lord Cares About Us, and the Devil Doesn't Play Fair."
Yeah.
So, What do we want to start out with? Let's start out with, let's go to Isaiah 55, verse 8. And I want to say something here. I would like, so we used to do this. Do y'all remember, anybody ever remember Eastman Curtis? Do you remember him? He was a youth minister kind of thing. He was under Blaine Bartell for a while, and Eastman Curtis. Eastman Curtis came and spoke at a youth convention that we had at our church. And I'm trying to think if when he told us this, I think he stayed over and then spoke at in the regular service. And he said, he challenged us, and this is, oh my goodness, this is a long time ago. I mean, 16-some years. I mean, that's a long time ago that he said that. So like, whenever he said, get excited about the Word of God. And so every time when pastor would go to his first scripture, everybody would go, woo! So I think it'd be totally awesome. And so the pastor's going to get this recording, but I'm hoping he won't listen to it till maybe after. So let's, on Sunday morning when he goes to his first scripture,
amen,
let's all go, woo!
Yes.
So, okay, now I say that at our church. So, like, Eastman Curtis challenged us to do that, right? And we did it. Our church in Midland, Michigan, they still do it to this day. If you ever watch the program or anything, they do it to this day. They still do it. And so every once in a while, I slip up, and the girls will laugh at me when I'm sitting up in church. I'll, you know, pastor will say, hey, let's go to, you know, whatever, Hebrews 12. And I'll be like, woo! And I'll be like, so, okay. Where am I at here? I got to find the scripture myself. Isaiah 55, 8. And it's kind of, it's a familiar, yeah, thank you. There, that's it. Good practice.
Good practice. So, Isaiah 55, 8. Whoops, I got it in the Message translation right now. Go back to New King James.
This is familiar. We've heard this before. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, so let's hold that thought for a minute. No pun intended. Let's go over to Jeremiah 29:11. And I may be talking a bit fast because I got a lot to say and I have 22 minutes left. Jeremiah 29:11. Okay. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring back from your captivity. And then, yeah, we'll go on from there. But that's the part that I really wanted to get to. So, getting back to what I was talking about here, let me just pause for a minute. Let me just pray over this message, Lord. I meant to do this earlier. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for tonight. I thank you for all that you've done, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your hand upon us. I thank you for your hand upon each and every one of us. I just pray, Lord, that the words that I speak would be your words, Lord, and that they'd be impactful, and that your anointing, Lord, would be on it and be evident in everyone's lives, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And I pray for the lawnmower, Lord, and the gentleman on it, Lord. I just pray for whatever condition he's in, Lord Jesus. I pray that his life would be touched in some way. Amen. Okay. Now let's skip over to 1 Peter 5, 7 and 9. So keep that in mind what we talked about here. Isaiah said, right, the Lord, your thoughts, his thoughts, the Lord's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And his ways are higher than our ways. And then the Lord says, I know what I think about you, right? I know what I think about you. I think of peace and not evil. So keep that in mind. Let's go over to 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Okay, another kind of familiar verse. If you notice, too, I'm a bit of a cameraman's nightmare. I'm kind of staying here, but I tend to wander a little bit. So now it's probably going to be on the recording. It's going to be... We'll have to... Ed, we'll probably have to... We'll have to level that out a bit. Okay. Let's go. What did I say? 1 Peter 5. Did I say 7? I did say 7. Okay. Well, let's maybe back up to 6. All good preachers, right? They always back up. They always do that. They're always like, oh, let's
let's go back one verse, right?
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, this really isn't part of it, but I want to read the next line, too. I mean, we're familiar with this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood and in the world. But I really want to focus on that verse 7. Casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And this was a bit of a revelation to me here. So, because they're using the same word, and it's this translation, right? Other translations will say it a little bit differently. But casting your cares, because he cares for us, right? We're both cares. But those are completely different cares that we're talking about here. The first care is casting our cares upon him. These are our anxieties, our worries, our doubts, or you know, any of that kind of thing. Let's cast them onto him because he cares about us. And I've dug into that word cares a little bit further to say, what are they actually talking about? And that word means he cares about us, but in such a way that he cares every part about us. And in such a way that we would, if we were to study something out very diligently, right? We take a lot of care at studying this out. And that's the way the Lord looks at us. He cares for us. It's not just like James is my friend, right? And I care for him. But the Lord cares everything about him, every little thing. And this is the part of it that in a way kind of blows my mind, because here we have this relationship with the creator of the universe. Does he really care where my car keys are? I mean, but he does.
He does. Yes.
And that's why I read that scripture, his ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand that. I mean, you know, Alan, I love you, man, and I care for you. But I mean, if you lost your car keys, okay, yeah, I'd be kind of upset with you, but don't say I don't care, but it's just like, you know what I mean? Yeah. But the Lord does.
Yes, amen.
The Lord does care about that. I mean, you know, he knows every hair on our head, you know, and you talk about like the lilies in the field, right, and how beautiful they are, and you know, how much more are we, right, than the sparrows in the air, right? How much more valuable are we? So that word cares means so much more. And so keep that in mind. And now I want to, so that's the first part of my title, if I mention that, right? The second part was the devil doesn't play fair. Right? The devil doesn't like this, that you have this relationship with the Lord. He hates it, right? He's hated it from the beginning, right? He went into the, you know, he's mad because he had that relationship. Well, you know, we don't know what relationship exactly he had with the Lord, but it's not the relationship he has now.
That's right.
Right? And he's mad, so he doesn't like anybody that has that relationship. So he wants to interrupt that completely. And I find this interesting. So, you know, I kind of want to skip over these two verses because I just don't want to go over there for the sake of time. But it's interesting that, you know, when Adam and Eve, and when after they had sinned, right, the Lord came down and he's walking in the cool of the garden. Can you hear me okay? Am I talking loud?
Yeah.
Yeah,
now it's
really, you know,
or something.
I'll just tell you, you know, I don't know. Whatever, it just is, right? I mean, we came home from our vacation, and I don't know, it was 11 o'clock at night. We drove all day, so 15, 16 hours or something straight, we drove. And so I come home, and normally April's car is in the garage, so we took April's car to Florida, so my car was in the garage. So I wanted to get it out, put April's back in. It's 11:30 at night. Get in there. Nothing, right? Like, not even a click, click, click. It was nothing. The battery's dead, right? I don't know. Could that have bummed me out? I suppose. But I was just like, whatever. So this is minor, right? This is minor. Yeah, it was a battery. I had to put a new battery in the next day.
I think you're almost done.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going.
You're almost done.
Yeah, he's going well on there. But anyways, back to... Yeah, they are. They're like a roaring lion, right?
We're not paying attention.
Yeah. So, Adam and Eve had this relationship with with God, where they fellowship with Him, right? We're designed for fellowship with the Lord.
That's right. I mean, we really are. And it was very regular. They knew, right? They knew. Okay, they had sinned, and what did they do? They hid themselves, right? And the Lord says, hey, where are you? I mean, he knew where they were, right? But yeah, He says, hey, where are you? But they had a regular, I'm looking at that, I'm like, they had a regular time that they used to visit and fellowship with the Lord, you know, in there. And the other part, if you, in that same chapter, right, Genesis 3, but you skip over, I'll just say that was Genesis 3:8, and then Genesis 3:21, this part of it that, I've read this many times, and I never really thought of it till I was thinking about this message here, where after they had betrayed the Lord, I mean, you talk about the ultimate betrayal, right? I mean, they completely disobeyed what He had said. And it says the Lord, right, He made the speech. Maybe it was a sacrifice, maybe He was teaching how to, blood to cover the sins. I don't know, it doesn't really say that specifically. But it says that He made clothes for them, right? And I thought, after they had ultimately betrayed Him, the Lord's still looking out for them. He still cares about them. You know, I was like, again, His ways are more than my ways, right? I mean, because when someone betrays us, I mean, what do? We tend to either push them away or we cut them off. I mean, that's what we do. But the Lord's looking for a way to get back to us. And He did, right? And of course, then Jesus, He made the ultimate sacrifice to get back to us. Amen. That's how much He thinks about us. Amen. So I think sometimes, and the devil, he wants to interrupt that. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that for us. And ultimately, right, we're not necessarily His target. He's trying to get back at God. He wants to do whatever He can do to take anything from God that He can, which is us, right? And He knows that we are the Lord's prized possession.
Yes.
Possession, right? You know what I mean?
I mean, we come freely. But so what I want to say about that, though, is sometimes we give the devil too much credit, though. And we read the scripture where He seeks God as a roaring lion. He's not a lion, right? And I love the scripture in Revelation where it says, when we're going to look down on Him, when He gets His judgment, and we're going to be like, this is the guy that tormented the nations? This is it?
Yeah.
This is it? Right? So, I mean, I think that's going to be a pretty cool time here. But I think sometimes we give Him too much credit. But the one thing that Satan will do, he's, of course, the accuser of the brethren, us. And that's his biggest thing. He accuses us. Yeah. But he will do things like to give us thoughts like, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, and you can't do this. But then, this is how sneaky and conniving he is. He will try to set up circumstances to make us believe what we just thought is true. So let that sink in for a minute. I've had several examples very recently in my own life of this type of a thing. Where, I've had these thoughts, I'm not good enough, I'm not qualified, I'm not, whatever, right? And then certain things happened around me that weren't necessarily my fault that were proven those thoughts correct. And that's why I read the second scripture. We need to remind ourselves what the Lord thinks about us.
Amen.
And what He thinks about us. And this is where, how we can combat against these type of things. So, I mean, in my situation, and I really want to read this scripture because this one ministered to me a lot. Let me just reference, before I do that, I want to reference 1 Timothy 4:12, and we don't have to turn there, you can just write it down. We've read this, I've read this since I was in youth group, right? And it says, Timothy, don't be despised because of your youth. Now, I've always read it as there were people around him that were despising him of his youth. But if we read that scripture, we don't really know what that's true or not. I mean, I don't know that there were actually people around him. Could it have been maybe that Timothy was despising himself and thinking, he apparently was younger than maybe a lot of the people around him, and maybe he's thinking to himself, gosh, I'm young. How do I have anything to say? How can these people listen to me? I'm young. And so Paul's telling him, hey, don't be despised because of your youth. Don't be Don't be allowing this. And I took it as, again, that the devil saying to him, yeah, you can't preach. There's a one of Dr. Barclay's fathers in the faith who's in heaven now, Dr. George Evans. He had this saying here. He told us this story one time, and it always stuck with me. He, I don't remember when exactly he started preaching. He was probably in his 20s or so. And he used to always, he said, the devil would say to me all the time, right? You're too young to preach. You're too young. You know, people don't listen to you. People don't respect you. Blah, 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 blah. You don't do it. And when he turned 40, he said to himself, he's like, hey, finally, I'm whatever. I don't know why 40 was a number for him. But he said, when he turned 40, why, you know, now I'm old enough. People should listen to me. And you know what the devil said to him? Oh, you're too old now. You're too old. No one's going to listen to you now. And so it's like, and so when he was telling the story, he's always going to say something.
Right.
And so you got to recognize those thoughts. Don't take those thoughts in and then start nurturing them, right? Coddling them. Here's my little thought, right? Here's my, pity party. And I say this because it's easy to do, and it's hard, actually, to try to cast, how do I cast my cares on the Lord, right? How do I do that? And so that's where I want to come to Psalm 77. So as I was kind of dealing with some of these things last year, this scripture really ministered to me from, I mean, I could have been writing this scripture. And it's like, I was doing some things. It's interesting because the Lord will have grace. There's grace for... when we had moved down here, I, of course, was in a position that they hired me for. 6 months later, they asked me to move into this other position. And it was a global position, right? Well, that means good things, right? And let me be real with you for a minute. I had a little bit of a hesitate. I mean, I know now, hindsight, right? It was the Holy Spirit. I should have. They offered this to me, I don't know, it was probably 11 o'clock in the morning, and I ended up giving them an answer by 2 in the afternoon. I should have taken the night and prayed about it. I should have. Because when I moved into that position, I had nothing but pain for 2 years. Okay? And then this is when a lot of these things hit me. Right? You're not good enough. You know. You're not qualified. I was good enough. I was qualified. I mean, but, you know, these thoughts. And then I told you about the circumstances around me. There were so many circumstances out of my control that were kept telling me, you know, yep, see, you're not qualified. Right? But I'll tell you what. The Lord got me through that. And when I finally did move out of that position, the Lord opened a door for me to move out of that position. And I actually got promoted in this other job, in the job that I'm in now. And they basically told me, what do you want to do? And I said, well, this is what I want to do. I said, okay, we'll do that. And so it's just amazing how the Lord changed that whole thing. It was my mistake. It was my mistake. And it's like, so, like, why, Lord? Why would you do that? You know, I'm the one that blew it. And I can't give any spoilers away, right? Because Dallas told us last night not to give any spoilers about the next episode of The Chosen. But there's a great scene somewhere in the episodes where someone also walks away and comes back. So, all right, let me get back to Psalm 77, because this is me. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. That was me. My soul. You remember, we're a three-part being, right? We have a body, right? I'm looking at a bunch of bodies, okay? We have a soul, and we are a spirit. That's really what we are, right? Once we're born again, our spirit's redeemed, right? And essentially all purposes, our spirit is the same as God's spirit at that point, once we've been born again and regenerated. But our soul needs, that's your mind, that's your emotions, right? Your volition. And That part needs work, right?
And that's what Satan attacks. He attacks your soul.
So my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and I was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You ever complain? April will tell you. No, she will not. I love this next line here, and the other translations say it differently, but it says, "You hold my eyelids open," right? He really doesn't, but that was me too. I mean, I can't tell you how many nights I was up in the middle of the night, right? And I would pray and I would fight through, but you know what I mean? It's just that. I have considered the days, I'm so troubled that I can't speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. That was the key that actually it took me a while to find this scripture because I was looking for that key phrase right there. My spirit was diligently searching my soul. And when I read that, I was like, Lord, I want to do that. Or I want my, you know, how do I tap into that? Because that's what I need. I need that. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he favorably no more? I love these lines. Because that's why I'm like, Lord, did you forget me? Where am I at? Okay, you sent me down here. Okay, I came from Michigan. I left my family. I left my friends. I left my pastor. I left my church. And I'm here and I'm in this miserable situation. Right? Did you cast me off forever? Where's your mercies? I'm complaining. And he said, this is my anguish. But here we go. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and the talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among your people. You have, with your arm, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And that's the part that was key for me, was I started to remember, oh, that's right. I do have victories. Amen. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in right now, there's something you can pull from your past that's a victory.
Amen.
There's something. And grab onto that. David said, you know, before he fought the giant, he was like, hey, I fought the bear, I fought the lion, right? What's this giant, right? But what's he doing? He's remembering these past victories. And encouraging himself. And that's what we need to do. So that's actually what I did. I actually went back, oh yeah, you know what? I mean, I started to write. I personally wrote them down. And then I read them. And then I went back to the Lord and I said, you know what? I remember when you did this for me. Thank you for that. I remember when you did this for me. You know? And the Lord, okay, he knows all this. But you know what that did? That started to remind me and in my soul here that...
Yes.
That, yes, I am qualified. Yes, this is what the Lord thinks of me. Yes, you know, I do have victories in the past. I do have, and you know what? What is this situation I'm in now? What is this giant now? You know? So, yeah, I think I've talked about most of this. I'll just review and make sure. And for sake of time, I can see my time winding down here. You know, how do we get out of this situation that we're in? And this is how we cast our cares upon him. Build that relationship with the Lord. Continue to work on your relationship with him. And April does the children's church, and I wasn't going to sing this, but, you know, there's a prayer, you know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And then, of course, there's a, don't read your Bible, don't pray every day, and you shrink. So it's basic. Christianity is really simple when you boil it down. It's about a relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
And the awesome thing is he wants that relationship with us.
Amen.
He wants this relationship with us. And it's awesome, you know. So pray. Talk to God. I was talking to my brother. There you go. So all right, let me sneeze. give me 1 minute. I was talking with my brother and I don't want to say too much about his situation, but he he was born again. He's really not serving the Lord like he should. And I called him up not that long ago, and I said, well, I said a bunch of things. I was like, get back in church. but he was like, yeah, I was talking to the Lord. I was like, that's praying, you know. I said, that's praying. Just praying is just talking to the Lord. It's nothing complicated about it, you know. Sometimes people think you've got to have this all big, you know, and put on a big to pray. No, just talk to him. You know, you're driving down the road, I'm like, hey, Lord, I'm thinking about this. What do you think about this? It sounds silly, but yet at the same time, the Lord wants that relationship. You know, I think it was Dr. Lester Summerall said, he goes, I don't pray more than 10 minutes. Now, I don't go 10 minutes without praying.
Amen.
But I don't pray more than 10 minutes. So that's it, you know. So prayer doesn't have to be real lengthy. And then read his word. Read his word so you can understand and start to learn more about him. Draw near to God, resist the devil. I love that. That's James 4, verse 7 and 8. Just draw near to God. I mean, that ties right back into the relationship. And this one, Zechariah 8:9, I read this one. And in the Message translation, it is awesome. Because basically, it says, in the Message translation, it says, get a grip. And it says, hold fast. Actually, like in the New King James, it says, strong hands or hold fast, right? But the Message says, get a grip. So, you know, we might say that, like, you know, get a grip. And I said that to April once. So then, you know, then 3 days later when I got up and dusted myself off, I decided that wasn't a good way to... April doesn't hit me much.
What was that?
That's Zechariah 8:9. And so basically, hold fast to the promises of God, right? And realize here, we read this before too, realize you're not alone. Satan, right? Number one thing, he wants to accuse us, but number two, he wants to isolate us, right? And make us feel like we're the only ones going through this. Okay? We're not alone. We have lots of people around us, for one, but I mean, the Lord, of course, never leaves us nor forsake us. Yeah. Someone once said, right, if the Lord feels like he's a million miles away, well, guess who moved?
Yeah.
He didn't. So, right, he's never going to leave us, never forsake us. So, and then I already talked about remember your past victories, right? Write them down if you have to. Speak them. Thank the Lord for them. So, all right, well, that's it. I'm at my time. I went 3 minutes over. Let me just pray. Bless you as you go. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you've done in everybody's lives, Lord Jesus. You are so great, gracious, and we are so grateful for you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for the rest of this week, Lord. I thank you for your blessings upon everybody. I thank you for safety and for I speak Psalm 91 over them, Lord, that you will keep them in all their ways, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.